Alex, no matter how I do the introduction, it always cracks Sam up. I don't know why. I don't even know why that's funny to you, Sam.
I think you're so good at it. I think you're so good
at the introduction. Go to hell. This is the Comedy Fix podcast, and today we are going to change up our format just a wee bit. We're going to do somewhat of a yes and workshop, if you will. Now, what does that mean? That means that instead of debating yes and the merits thereof, because I think all three of us, there's only three of us today, Chris and Sam, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I think we all probably agree that there's a time and a place for yes and there's a time and a place for not yes and, whatever the not is. And so I think today we're going to just see if we can workshop some ideas to see what are the alternatives to yes and, maybe put them on their feet and see how can we build a scene, move a scene forward, create live improv performances with not yes and.
Now, Jamie, you so casually said that we agree that there's a time and place for yes and not yes and. I bet there's a lot of people listening that might not agree with that. So I wouldn't mind talking about it for a second. What do we mean by agreeing that when is it applicable, or you know, what's a situation, whatever, where we wouldn't yes and? Now, before you guys answer that, let me give the very basic answer. Like somebody would say, like, oh, you always want a yes and gifts or ideas within the scene. And then what happens is, as you get older in improvisation, you realize, well, I don't have to say yes to every offer, but I have, and this is what everyone says, you have to say yes to the reality of the scene. That was my big thing for a long time. I'm like, I'm controversial. I'm a teacher here. And you could say no if he offers you Starburst, but you can't say no to the fact that he is offering you Starburst. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're, as long as we yes and the reality, then we're okay. So let's go. So now that I broke those two things down, when are we, is it okay, Jamie, for me to deny the reality that you are a person handing me Starburst in this scene?
Of course.
What an answer. Of course. Sam, is that true?
I think Jamie believes that's true for sure. I think typically, and I get frustrated by yes and, I will say, because I think yes and is general enough that it can mean whatever you want it to mean. So when you first start improv, they're like, just say yes to everything. Wouldn't it be more fun if you said yes to when he said, we're going to dance across the stage? Great. And then you get to the point where they're like, actually, by saying yes, you want to kill your mother, because that's what the guy suggested, or the woman. You're actually denying the reality that that person wants to kill your mother. So you need to say yes by saying no. And boy, that's another thing right there.
Now, I've also seen in Folly rehearsals the example I just gave, where Sam, you've made it perfectly clear, we are at this newspaper stand and you're just trying to buy the paper, and Jamie wants nothing to do with that situation. The complete situation you set up.
Yeah, well, we don't do good improv, and I just think our listeners need to know that. It should be clear by now.
I will say, Sam and I do a lot of what feels experimental for us. Maybe other people are doing it, so it's not objectively experimental out in the world, but it's for us. We don't have a roadmap for what we're trying to do, so we fuck things up a lot. Maybe my doing, because I'm trying to see what's on the other side of all these rules that we've been given. And so we don't really have a roadmap of how to succeed. So yeah, we have a lot of failed improv scenes and shows, but I think the highs are higher. I think the lows are just as bad as the lows when you follow the rules, but I think the highs are higher than when you follow the rules. So
I do want to take one moment here to insert my opinion of you, because a lot of our listeners will send me messages saying they agree with something or don't agree with something, but they tend to have a pretty strong opinion about you, Jamie, right? Like, whoa. He comes on strong, or he doesn't seem to like anything, or he's negative about this, or, you know, all those delightful things. What I always tell them is kind of what you just said right now. I'm somebody who's been in the game for over 20 years, and I haven't spent time with somebody like yourself that presents the possibilities of what's on the other side. That's a beautiful thing. That is not what sounds, sometimes it seems like you're closing a door, but you're actually inviting me to, like, look underneath it and beside the door and everywhere else. And I just got to say, as a coach, a friend, a director, co-host of a podcast, that's been one of my, people need to know, understand that about you. You're not just trying to fuck everything up. You want to see what's on the other side. And I think that's beautiful. And Sam, I've seen you go there with him and vice versa. I've seen you take him to the other side as well.
I think that's an important point, though, is that I think what I try to do in our performances a lot of time is say yes to Jamie breaking the reality, which sounds bizarre. But like, if I don't go with him on that stuff, I think we can't be successful with it. But like, once I think Jamie actually runs into trouble with people who tell him no, right, as opposed to the people who are like, yeah, let's try that. So it's kind of interesting to see that.
Or I might have mentioned this on the podcast before, but for all the coaching I've done in my entire life, no one's ever done this to me where I'll go, all right, guys, that was good. That was good. Hey, Jimmy, this time try, I don't know if anything, right? I'll make it up right now. You know, try lifting that chair with him. And then Jamie just looks at me and goes, no. And then the rehearsal continues. So you're not even yes ending the rehearsal process. The rehearsal process.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, the yes and of the team process, right? You can't say no to a team. Heaven forbid you assert your individuality in a team environment, because if you disagree with seven other people and you're right, God forbid.
Oof. Oof.
Sorry.
So where have – I don't know if you can recall an instance. Maybe, like you said, we'll put it up on his feet, Jamie or Sam. Can you recall a moment where you didn't yes and – and it led to something great? That's kind of a weird question. But you know what I'm saying? Like, where you've been to the other side that you wouldn't have gotten there had you yes-anded?
I mean, gosh, it's hard to reconstruct. First of all, it's been a year since we've done improv.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I don't know. Maybe during the conversation, things will pop back into my brain.
What about the table thing?
The table thing, the one where Sam is holding the table above his head to his detriment.
And he's asking you, yeah, he's asking you for help. We talked about this in our very early episode. There's actually video of it. Now, if you're a new listener, we have video on our Instagram of this actual scene. He's asking you for help and you're not doing it. Would you consider that not yes ending in that moment? Or I don't know.
I'm yes anding the show. Hmm. I think the show was incredibly enhanced by Sam's genuine struggle that we now, I mean, that scene was probably 2 years ago, and we still, even though there's a video of it, I can still picture that moment and feel it in my bones. And we wouldn't have got there if I ran over and helped Sam and popped the table down and moved on to the next scene. So I think I yes-anded the show by denying Sam's help, his cries for help, his need for help or whatever, both character and actor. So I said no on two different levels, but I said yes on the third. So I guess in one instance, you might always be saying yes. But if there's multiple different levels of a show, the character, the actor, and the show, and then the world maybe is a fourth level, you have to say yes on one of those levels, but not all of them. I guess maybe. I know I'm kind of making this up on the spot, but that kind of makes sense to me.
Sam, did you feel like you were being denied? Well, you were literally being denied help.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, that's what you get for saying yes to Jamie when he's like, hey, let's lift this table. Yeah, sure. Why not? And then he leaves you holding the table. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting talking about it afterwards because Jamie wasn't clear that he was saying no to the actor. Jamie thought he was saying no to the character and saying yes to the actor's struggle in a way. And again, I think this is like we can make yes and mean whatever we want it to be in a way. And I kind of agree with you, Jamie, that there is maybe the yes and to a show structure or like a yes and to the form or a yes and to the spirit of giving on a performance. And then there's the yes and to the actors or that, like, I think that's such an interesting way to do it because that's what the sort of like, you have to say no to say yes kind of a thing is you say no to the character, but yes to the actor, right? That's that idea there.
I feel like that's never taught.
That's kind of what was popping in my brain when I was thinking about this topic going into today's conversation is, and I'll address what you said earlier. You said some nice things. Yeah. I feel like I'm often misunderstood by people in the world and then by improv, people in the improv cohort, because if you challenge their traditions, their conventions, and their beliefs, they take it as a threat and they dismiss you as bad, crazy, angry, whatever. And that's
As will most people.
I deal with this in the real world as well. And it's mostly a misunderstanding because I'm just interested and curious and want to see what's on the other side. So thank you for articulating that, Chris. But as far as, see, I don't even remember my motherfucking point.
Deny yourself. Don't say no to yourself. Say yes and to
yourself. Say no to me saying no to myself. but yeah, I think that's part of the issue with how improv is taught is yes and is the rule. You're taught not to deny. So those are the rules of how you're supposed to do improv. But the fact of the matter is that denials happen either accidentally or on purpose, and you're not taught how to deal with them. It's kind of the same. It's kind of the same mentality of like how, you know, the law says that drugs are illegal. Don't do them. But they don't. Nobody teaches you how to do it safely if you're gonna do it, right? And it's kind of the same thing. Yes, and don't deny, move on, as if that's gospel rather than, but if it does happen, here's how you can work with it, right? And I think that's just as important as the initial yes and rule. So that's kind of what I'm curious about is, yeah, what about a no but? What about an if what? Or then maybe. I don't know. All these other little conjunctions that we might be able to play with.
Didn't you guys have one that was like, no but and or something like that?
Sam was playing with one, yes and no.
That's right. I remember yes and no. That was fun.
Do you remember what you meant by that?
I forget where that came from. I mean, for a while we were kind of playing with Samuel Beckett stuff, and you know, so much of that work is related to what lives between contradictions and what you can't actually say with words. So that, yeah, even if I say no verbally, my body could say yes, right? Like, and of course that's probably like a classic trope where like, no, no, you know, like whatever it is. But yeah, I'm actually kind of curious, and I don't know the answer. Like, at some level, does there have to be one yes, either to the show or the character or the actor, or just like somewhere in those layers, does there have to be a yes somewhere? And then does like having a no somewhere make it more dynamic in some ways?
I think, well, it's all depends on the context. Yeah. I remember a yes and no. To me, that was kind of our invitation. That was our way into finding nonsense in a scene and playing with nonsense. So, you know, here's an apple for your lunch today. Yes and no to that. And then see what kind of nonsense you get and then exist in that nonsense. Don't try to clarify the nonsense, just exist in it and build on it. And I think there's comedy in nonsense. Of course. I mean, I'm not the first person to say that, but,
do you think then that maybe context is everything or you're setting up a clear goal for what you want out of a show or a scene is everything there's so many yeses in my brain right now. Because like, if the idea is, or we know that today we're going to experiment, whatever that means, we're going to play with levels and subtext and reading between the lines, then of course your classic yes and can be thrown out the window because it might lead us to, like we said earlier, Jamie, the other side. But if you're just trying to get, if your goal is to, do a Herald. I don't know why I have to go there. Like, is it beneficial to teach these students to say yes to things? Also, what is the harm in saying yes the entire time? Like why do so many kind of advanced players kind of buck this yes and idea? And I, myself included, there comes this moment where we're like, come on, that's for kids. But like, what would be the harm in being like, okay, yes. My initial thought is that like, well, if it goes against your character's point of view, you wouldn't say yes to shooting your mom if we've established that your point of view is family's everything. So that would be weird for you to say yes to that offer. But what else could be wrong or not as fun or less exploratory by saying yes? Jamie, can we go to another side by uber yesing, you know?
I think Ithamar is a great example of how that can be successful. Is you yes and so hard that it becomes insane because you've just yes anded so purely and blindly without any thought of continuity of character point of view or trajectory of the show or the story. And so I think there is a lot of fun in there. Some of the most fun scenes I've been in are pure yes. It's like not just yes and, it's like fuck yeah plus this shit. It's like it's so intense. It's like next level yes and. I think that's a fun place to play. Just normal yes and I think is, you know, that's training wheels to me.
Yeah. 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 I don't know where to, I don't, my brain is going a million ways. So why don't we do this? Let's not overthink it. Why don't we do a quick little scene? I'm talking 5 lines, 6 lines, where the goal is just to yes and each other. And that's the only goal. We're going to experiment with it. Just that, you know, we're in this class, they hit two people up, and the whole goal is just to yes and what your partner's giving you for a short scene. Sure. Are we going to do a 3-person scene or should we just do 2 of us? Will 3 get confusing?
Let's just do 2. We'll do keep them 2 and then the third person can set it up. And you just set us up. So Sam and I will do the first scene. How about that?
Sounds good. Do you want any more information? Want some kind of input? Do you want to, I guess
yeah,
it's up to
we
me.
Get a, yeah. Yeah. It's up to you. You're the setter upper.
Yeah. Okay. I'm setting this up. The exercise here is yes and. You must yes and each other. And you are, you're 2 friends at a bus stop.
It's late.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I am ready for dinner.
Yeah, you haven't eaten all day. And we've been out picketing the coal factory workers.
Since 6 a.m. all the way to 7 p.m. Whew, my legs are tired.
Well, it's because you picked up that coal worker that you had punched in the face. I asked you not to, but you had a look on your face like I hadn't seen.
Gary, I have told you, scabs get hit, and I mean
see,
it.
See, and seen. Because here's what I want to say. I actually enjoy, listen, I know we're being kind of silly here. I actually like that. I thought that was fun. And I think that new information that you're adding, Jamie, about just this last moment where, you know, Sam picked up a coworker, it was fun to watch you kind of get sparked by that, Sam. Like, I told you, that comes from agreeing with the information being said. So obviously it's weird to improvise a 2-person scene on a podcast and do yes and. But what are you feeling in there? Does it feel weird? Does it feel okay? Talk to
me. My first thought is I said no to myself. I'm not going to talk about the bus being late. Okay? Like right, like that's something that we have to train ourselves as actors is we say right, it's that follow your third thought idea. Don't go with the first thing, don't go with the second, go with the third. And so even though like my idea there was to hyper agree with Jamie, my initial instinct was, oh, bus is late. Nope. Can't do that.
Wow.
Interesting. So he said kind of in a sense, no to the suggestion. That's an interesting place to be as well.
I said no to my first idea. I would say, cause I still said yes to the suggestion, right? We were still at the bus stop. I didn't say like, oh my God, look at us in space, which I think would have been saying no to the suggestion.
By the way, this is fucking fascinating to me. Look, there might be, of all of our millions of listeners, 10 million of them might have stopped this podcast right now because they're just listening to this basic scene, this elementary scene. I'm finding this fascinating, especially with you two in particular. I'm actually loving this. Jamie, what what was that like? I love this.
Wow, CSAMI. I feel like I'm in a level 1 class.
I know.
It was fine. I mean, it was fine. I'm just listening to Sam and trying to, you know, build on what he said and give something more back to him. I was trying to yes and the meaning of what he was saying and trying to give it some more oomph.
Yes.
He was saying like his leg hurts. I'm trying to give him a little bit more depth for why his legs hurt rather than, well, you shouldn't have tripped over that rock.
Right. Which, you know, which could
fine.
Work.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before we move on to doing a no but scene, any last thoughts in there? So I don't see anything inherently wrong with this. You know,
I agree. I'm not on a crusade against yes and. Yeah. I just also want all the other options to be on the table. And then maybe we can learn and figure out how to use them effectively when or if maybe there are some things that just flat out don't work. That's possible too.
Yeah. I mean, look, Chris, I think your point earlier about like, is our goal to do a Herald? right? Like, we want to get to the game of the first beat as fast as we can. Like, already we're going to have like everyone on the back line walk across the scene as a scab, and I'm going to punch him in the face. And I do that three times and we're done with the scene, right? Like, we're off to the races. Is that the best possible scene we can come up with? I don't know, but it's like something to play. And to your point of earlier, of like, what do we lose? I see this is a big thing in TV writer culture, which is like, in the room, you always say yes. And what I think TV writer culture is coming to grapple with is like, sometimes someone has to say no because you don't understand your own bias, or like people are looking at things in different ways. And so it's like, okay, well, what is the value of adding no into that conversation? Where would we have said no? So I don't have the answer.
No, I like that. I like that. Cool. I do want to say my teacher brain. If this was first day of a, let's say a level two, let's say a level three class. And this was the first scene out of the gate, I'd be pleased as a teacher. Like, good. Okay. So Jamie, why don't you set up one for Sam and I where we do no, but.
Okay. I just had another thought that, I think that yes. And, God, I had a thought and now it's gone. This is what happens. We usually record in the morning. Now we're recording in the afternoon and I'm not as sharp. Got it. Thank you. Yes. And I think is a great tool, not the only one, but a great tool if you desire to perform improv like a play. If you're trying to create a play, a sitcom, some kind of story, something, and you're trying to build something like that. But I think that maybe the no's come in when you want to play with misdirection. And maybe improv is more of like a magic show where it's like topsy-turvy and it's kind of chaotic and it doesn't really have like the traditional maybe arc of a story or a play, but you have more surprise and nonsense and things like that. So that's kind of just my initial thought about maybe where yes and can. It's a yes and to me is not improv. It's a style of improv. And I think yes and becomes synonymous with improv, but I think there's other ways to do it.
I feel like for me, I haven't fully thought this out, but yes and wouldn't even be a style of improv for me. It would just be a tool to use in improvisation.
Right. I guess yes and gives you a specific style of play. You get sure. A specific stylized product, but that in itself is not what improv is. Those aren't the same.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, cool. Let's do one. Let's do a no but scenario with Sam and I.
Let's take it back even further. Let's do yes but.
Yes, but. I love it. Of course.
We're just going to do incremental baby steps here.
Of course.
Great. So yes, but you're two teachers in a teacher's lounge. Just five or six lines. I'll call it. Go for it.
Oh my gosh. I have Gary Sandoval in my third period. Mm-hmm. He will not stop talking.
Yeah, but that kid can play quarterback, huh?
Sure, but his grades are tanking.
Yeah, but who's going to care when he's in the NFL? You're going to be Gary Sanderson's teacher.
Listen, he doesn't get to play any sports if his GPA isn't up.
Scene. Cool. Great. Ooh. I like that. I like that. Chris, what do you think? How was that?
I actually loved it. Sam, I loved your response. It kind of like... because I don't have a good vote, kind of scared me in a weird way. He's kind of coming at me. I mean, I didn't feel like you were attacking me, but I did feel a little like defensive, and that kind of excited me. I liked that.
Yeah, it's cool because, you know, I think the trap you're looking out for in a lot of these improv scenes and level one when you're coaching is you don't want people to fall into an argument, right? Just like disagreeing on the base reality or whatever. Whereas like we were having a disagreement, but I wouldn't necessarily say it was an argument. I wasn't telling you that he was a good student and you couldn't see it. We were just kind of having two different conversations in a way and each heightening our own, which is kind of fun.
But I also feel the other rule was being broken, which is don't talk about somebody who isn't there, right? That's said a lot in classes where like if this scene were to continue and I'm playing to the best I can, I would eventually make it about you and I. Sam,
my next line was, yeah, but you don't want to be the teacher holding back Gary.
Great. Right. Yeah. Great. But we're just playing with the yeses and the noes. That was great.
Yeah. From the outside, I loved it as a tool to help each of you develop a different point of view. So we instantly have what this this 30-minute show could be about. We already have who these characters are and where, what their tension is. And this is just like one little iteration of maybe the broader tension between these two people, which I think is great. I don't know if we would have got that with Yes And as easily. So maybe Yes But can help develop distinct character points of view.
For sure, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point, Jamie, because you know, like the Pack Theater sort of has this position play school, but a lot of people have the peas in the pod or character scene. And Yes And is your key tool for that, right? Like,
can
I have
you pause
to...
a little bit? Can you just explain what maybe peas in a pod might be? Just basically.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So just peas because... in a pod. Yeah. Peas in the pod is sort of a idea of an improv scene where everyone's on the same page or has the same point of view. Generally, there are two of them, but could be all eight people. And everyone is has the exact same perspective. We all love wrestling, right? Whatever it is. As opposed to what we kind of developed into, which is two differing perspectives, and that lends more to like the straight man absurd character kind of a dynamic.
Yes.
Which when you try to do it with Yes And, when I'm thinking about it, is sort of like, yes, Gary Sanderson's a bad student and I'm the football coach who cares right. about Gary. And it's a little bit more forced yes. to separate your perspective.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Jamie, are we ready for No But? Because I could set that up for you guys, but like if there are other conjunctions or yes for, well, yes nor, no nor.
I know.
Why don't
I do have one addition, maybe because you guys just did the yes, but I'm wondering if we can try this. It might be hard because conceptually it's difficult, but can I put you two back in another scene and have you yes but the reality?
Okay.
Does that make any sense at all? It's kind of
abstract. Let's give it a shot.
Great. You two are waiting for the free sample at Costco. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're a couple.
Okay.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, baby. Sandwiches, mini sandwiches.
Yes, but we're on a TV show.
But I'm still hungry though, babe. I'm hungry. Can we not eat on this TV show?
But then the aliens won't pick us.
And cut. Baby. No, your line is, but then the aliens can't pick us.
Great scene. Cool.
Ooh.
Whoa, you guys. This, I love this. I was silently loving this. Because I think this is what we're talking about when we talk about the difference between like a play format maybe or something else. I don't know how we would describe that, but this, I loved it because it was nuts and I had no idea what was going on and I was enthralled. I'm like, what is going on? This is so crazy and I loved it. Sorry, I should have let you guys speak first.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, Sam, what do you think about that?
You know, it's really interesting. I would like to try that more. I'm curious how long it could sustain, because I think 30 seconds is a lot of things can last for 30 seconds. Like, do we have to at some point just sort of say like, yeah, we're on a cooking TV show for aliens. Like now we're cooking. Or how do you like keep budding reality? But I love the level of reality as what you're saying yes or no to.
For me, that's panic mode. I'm inside the cockpit and everyone's and buttons are, lights are flashing and buttons. And I'm trying to like keep the ship upright. When you said television show, everything inside of me sunk, which is crazy. This is a 30 second scene. I know that we're going into it to kind of explore. And yet I couldn't get my footing. I mean, I was able to, but it's a little more difficult.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could, I guess you could teach it. And I think what would be beneficial, Jamie, as far as teaching goes, would be like, knowing how to like they say, like when you're like learning how to fly a plane, one of the like the last things you do is you gotta like turn off everything in the cockpit and learn how to like coast and turn it all back on, because like there will be times in your life will suffer short where getting comfortable with the idea of feeling this panic is kind of a fun thing to play with.
Yeah, I wonder if yes but works intermingled with yes and. You know, you yes but the first 10 lines of a scene, establish some wacky reality that neither of you could have predicted 5 seconds earlier, and then now you try to live in that reality and yes and from there on until you feel another yes but burst coming on to spice it up. Because to me, what you guys did is how I love to play. I love that when I don't know, I literally have no idea what's going to happen next. That is so exciting to me because I can predict a yes and. I can predict, you can kind of feel where the show is going, where the scene is going, and I immediately check out because I'm not interested in that. I don't want to just perform for the audience what I know is about to happen in my head. I want to also be surprised. I also want to be an audience member in my own show. And Yes But allows me to do that because I have no idea what's going to happen next because Sam Yes Butts me into Alien World. I didn't see that coming. I mean, maybe you can slightly see something like that coming because it's going to get crazy. But I don't know. I think that's such a fun place to play. And it's very exciting. It's invigorating because it's like, I'm even surprised. I get to be in on the joke rather than set the joke up for the audience, which is so fun.
Yeah, I'm struck by two things that I feel like I've heard from teachers. One of them is sort of like, if we don't have anything going in the first 30 seconds, like I'm going to do something crazy. And that to me feels like a yes, but in some sort of way of like, yeah, there's your thing, but like, I'm the wild guy now or whatever it is. And the other version of that is kind of the opposite. I forget the guy. He was like a Conan writer and was often referenced in classes at IO. But the whole deal was like, if he played with someone and they were laying context on heavy, like, oh my God, they're like werewolves outside. He would kind of just like drag his chair, put it down and be like, yeah, but what's going on with you? You doing right. Okay? Like sort right. of making it that personal connection. And it's kind of an interesting master move to give that's the scene what it
I
means.
Do that. I do that a lot. Or I instruct my students to do that a lot. I often say if you're sliding down that mountain of like craziness to like that, and I think I mentioned this before, that ice pick you can pull out to hold yourself from sliding completely off the mountain is to inject that I statement or that you statement. Like, you mm-hmm. seem off today or whatever that is, pulling that chair over. But, and I think that that's great. I think that works. But you don't get to see what's completely on the floor of the mountain, which that's is where Jamie lives. Which is yeah. where Jamie has
as soon
camp.
As I hear, yeah, I've been in classes where they're like, you know, you have that moment and like you pause basically the momentum of the show. First of all, fuck off. Don't ever pause the momentum of a show that has momentum to be like, okay, what's going on with you today? And turn into a therapy scene. It's like, are you fucking kidding? Who cares? Keep going down the mountain and see what's at the bottom. Maybe there's a cool resort at the bottom. You know, it's like I'm all for following that momentum and not trying to put the train back on the rails. Let it go off the rails and go on its side and then get out of the train and keep walking, right? You know, as yeah. opposed to try to push it back on the rails so that we know that we're going to Portugal or whatever. It's not as interesting to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I mean, the thing that's coming up for me is some of us, myself included, have tattooed the idea that these scenes need to be about each other. Like that's in my, that's, I actually have it on my lip. It's on my lip. It says that they need to be about each other. So when I'm talking about Werewolf Land, well, right. That's what I'm thinking about now is I guess my immediate answer is like, that's what I find most interesting. But that's just like a personal preference. That doesn't need to be a rule for everybody. Where it's like to me, but I don't shit. I'm gonna say this sentence that I want to say, and then I'm gonna probably beat it because I want to go. Well, to me, what's more important is the human experience and how we relate with each other, and that's important. How you feel about yourself, how you feel about your scene partner. I could say that all day, and I have for a lot of years. But right here during this experiment, it's like I'm just saying that's most important. What if to me the most important part of a scene or improvisation was exploration, to go to worlds unknown, to maybe have that same connection with a sea creature that dances? Like, you know what I mean? Like I do remove that type of whimsy from my play a lot, which is kind of being brought to my attention right now.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's a big, to me, that's a big misconception about improv. And I think reality too, is that the human experience is not just about how we feel. It's not just about the other people we're around. We have our own experiences in our own brains. We have our own personal experiences that have nothing to do with how we feel. Right. So that's all part of the human experience. So just to say that, oh, it's about relationships and love. That's humanity. It's like, no, it's not. Humanity is a million other things that have nothing to do with relationships and love. Why do those get castigated from the stage? To me, wrongfully so, because there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get explored because it's not part of the human condition, which again is just a perspective on the world, not reality.
I do want to say that I think it's just right now as it stands, my preference.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Human. You're human. You're biased towards the human condition. And, you know, Jamie has transcended the perspective of a singular person. So
join me.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. But one last thing I want to say is, in that short little scene I did with Sam, that kind of feeling of not flailing, because I'm not worried, but like of not knowing, kind of felt good, dude. Because I will say it does feel good when I've locked in, you know, and I know that I'm in love with her. And I like that feeling, but this is also a fun fucking feeling.
Because part of improv to me is about letting go of that control of knowing where it's going to go, right? We always say that if you want to write something and figure it out beforehand, go do a sketch. But then we teach people the Herald, which is basically knowing what's going to happen in advance. So it's like those two ideas contradict each other. I think Yes But allows you to be in a space where you really have no idea what's going to happen. And that's part of the magic of improv, you know? And I think that's why I like it, is the unknowing part. Mm. Yeah. So I have to say, I loved Yes But to the characters, and I loved even more Yes But to the actors. Those were electric to me.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I loved Chris's cut, because I actually wasn't sure if when he said cut, he was talking about our scene or the scene in the show. And it was a really kind of fun moment.
Right? Yeah. I love that. I mean, you guys were at a Costco on a TV show for aliens, but also part of
a podcast,
a TV
right?
show in a podcast.
Yeah.
It's enough to break your brain, but in the most exciting, interesting way. That's the kind of stuff that makes me want to watch, is like, I have no idea what's going on, and I can't wait to figure it out. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Yes But to me is so far kind of a winner. Sam.
Yeah, I would like to set up, and I'll let you gentlemen choose. I would say either Yes Or, which just could be curious. I have no idea how that's going to go. Or what I think is the opposite of Yes And, which might be a little trickier to do, but No Nor, which is sort of like a double negative. It's like no. And also this other thing isn't true, if that makes sense. Might be a little bit too much.
No, I'm willing to try either of those on. What was the one that we were going to do? Like the one that kind of felt like it was just in order, which we don't need
no
to do.
No But?
No But. Okay.
No But? You want to do No But?
No, not necessarily.
I'm fine with any of those.
No. Yeah.
What sparks you? What sparks you? You're the director here.
I have no idea what Yes Or is going to look like. I think it's going to be a train wreck, but you guys are skilled enough improvisers that if anyone can do a Yes Or scene, I think it's you guys.
Before we go.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we're just going to play. I'm going to say this out loud before we jump in. I don't know how much of a difference there is to me between Yes But and Yes Or, but let's play with it. I just want to say that out loud.
It's fair.
Maybe we can do those two back to back. Well, I guess you just did a Yes But scene.
So let's do Yes Or. Let's see how that feels.
I'm so curious. And to set this up, oh man, I mean, if you guys aren't two firefighters waiting for a fire call, I don't know what you are.
God damn these boots. You know, I ordered bigger boots, right? I think my feet are growing. No, they're not sending to me. I got to stick with these.
Yes, or they could be getting smaller. They could be shrinking, and you could be left with peg legs by the time we're done with this conversation.
Yeah, or I just need the bigger boots, Samson. Come on.
Yes, or by the time you get the big boots, you might just have two little shriveled nubs. You know what? You're not even going to be a human left. You're just going to be vapor. You're going to be vapor left. You don't even need boots. What you need is a baggie.
Yeah. Yeah, or I'm out. I'm tapping out.
We broke improv.
He's tapping out on the last one.
I've never said the words tap out in an improv scene before.
That looked hard. That looked challenging.
Yeah, well, yes. Well, it almost seems like, Jamie, had I done your thing first, I feel like that would have been easier for me. I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm just saying that I don't. We'll kind of dissect that. Where I'm setting up kind of like this like base reality about needing boots. You give me an or option. It's like somehow I still felt beholden to the yes part before I could go to the or. So the yes would have to be like, I hear you. I understand that as an option. And then it was hard for me to add an additional or without just continuing to be two guys going back and forth, just saying yes or yes or yes or. I don't know. Talk to me.
To me, I was yesing your feeling, your character's, your worry. I was yesing your worry, but I was oring your explanation or your focus of your worry. So I was yesing the feeling and oring the content.
Sam, what does it look like from the outside?
What's interesting is I think you both yes and yourself, right? So you each had an or and you kind of stuck with it. And so Jamie's whole thing this whole time is going to be that, whereas yours the whole time was just like, no, man, I just got to get the catalog and find another pair, right? Or whatever. It's interesting.
I wish that's what I was trying to do unsuccessfully. Was like, what if I could yes or almost in the fashion of the straight character, meaning yeah, that's a possibility, Jamie's character, or back to the reality of which I think is just as simple as needing a new boot size. Mm-hmm. But that didn't really pay off for me, to be honest. But that's kind of where I sunk my teeth.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it seems like a flavor of yes and no, to be honest. That's kind of what I think. It's like yes and no in some ways.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I can see this perhaps being a good straight absurd yes or could be a good setup for a voice of reason character and then a wacky alternative. Someone starts off with saying something normal and then the other person is ors it into a wacky direction. I can see that working perhaps.
So Jamie, but I also see this character. I see the scene where it's two stoners and I go like, oh dude, what if this whole world is just one big marshmallow? And you go, yeah. Or it's actually one big meatball. I go, yeah. Or no. What if it's actually right? So it's just a series of like, or options, or so to me that would be peas in a pod, like both kind of being absurd. Or it's now I don't even know how to speak anymore. The version I was trying, I almost want to try that on one more time. I almost want to see if I can continue to be straight, if you will, quote unquote, in this reality. Like, can we? Let's just do it. We can do whatever we want, right? We own this podcast.
Yeah.
Jamie, can we just keep doing the same scene? Just these same guys jumping back into it. Or I just need the chief to get me new boots.
Yeah. Or where were you last week when the chief got vaporized? He's in the baggie on the back of the fire truck.
Yeah. Okay, Jamie. Or I'm just saying, perhaps I just need to go to the mall. You know, it's as simple as cutting out the middleman. No order. I go right to the mall and get it myself, and then I'll be ready to go.
Yes, or perhaps what you can do is you can go back in time before vaporization became a concept. There is a documentary about prehistoric China.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it's tough. It's work, is what I'll say.
What I like about it is it really pinpoints reality. Chris, you gave that stoner example, which I think was fun. I was actually thinking of like, oh, if we did that again, maybe I'd put you guys outside your boss's office and you have to figure out like why you're sitting out there, right? Like, you know what? Oh. Like this is because of the project. Or we're getting merged with Disneyland and we're about to become mascots. Like, we're about to get fired for like tanking the account. Like, or this is our, you know.
And so, and yes, no, I like that. Well, I mean, I like that example. It's like the opposite of the stoners. It's the more kind of grounding. So to what extent? What are we left with? Are we left with a scene that we feel is either quote unquote successful, something we are having fun in doing it, that might be pleasurable to an audience? I don't know.
I think there are two things at play. I think you pinpointed it exactly by saying it's peas in a pod again, because I think you're both saying yes and to the yes or game. But I also think that if a third person walked in and chose a side, that's reality. And that's kind of fun that we've set these two things up. One of them's got to be true. Probably we have to have someone come in and say, no, the chief was vaporized. Like, your feet are going to be shriveled by the end of the week. Aliens have invaded.
Okay, so before we move on, I still... Yes, please.
I just wanted to make one observation. I think the firefighter scene was difficult because we were both in a position of knowledge, right? We both had our own solid perspectives, whereas the druggies or the two guys being called into their boss, they're both not in a position of knowledge or authority because they don't know. They don't have the knowledge of why they've been called in. And so the yes or might work when characters are in a position of unknowing. But when they're both in a position of knowing, then maybe it confuses the audience because then what's reality, right?
That's a great point. Yeah. That's a great point.
I still do think, though, I'm kind of agreeing with myself what I said earlier. I still think that's yes, but.
Can I challenge you guys then to do no nor? Can I get you guys to try that on? I think, to me, it's a negative yes and. So I think you could actually heighten
yes nor or no nor?
No nor.
No nor.
And also no would be the other way to say it. We'll keep a workplace theme. I'm not gonna say anything. You guys are at a restaurant.
Great.
I don't know. I guess I'll just have bread. I'll just have bread. I don't want anything here.
Babe, no. No. And you're not gonna eat here. You have to eat something.
No.
This diet is going crazy.
No, nor will you tell me how to conduct my diet, young man.
No. I can't. I'm tapping out again.
He's tapping out. What's so funny is the first time you said no and.
Yes, you did. You said no and not, which...
Well, because I was trying to do the other option, because nor felt... I was trying to do what you said, Sam, which was also no and also no.
Yeah.
No and no. No, it doesn't matter. But I still... Okay. I don't mind that at the start. Like, it's kind of... Not only am I not agreeing with what you're saying, I also don't agree with whatever, right? How you're saying it or where you've stepped... The world you've established that you're saying it in.
God. Yeah. So far we've been doing this on a very character level. I wonder what would happen if we translated this over to the actor level, saying no nor to the reality.
Yes.
Rather than the character's choices.
But I want to see one more no nor with characters who don't with you two. Just one more. Because I tapped out so early. I'm curious to see what it continues.
Okay, let this go on too long.
Too long. Okay, listeners, are you excited for this? yep, very simple setup. No, nor. And you are kind of like we were saying earlier, you're two employees sharing a cubicle. You're at the workplace.
It's my kid on the wall.
No, you don't have kids.
No, nor do you. Nor do you exist.
No, nothing exists.
No, nor does nothing not exist, meaning that everything exists.
No. Nor can you understand how terrible you are as a non-existent being.
Nor can you understand how great of a person you are. You'll never understand it.
No.
Rogers, Hammerstein, I got your reports here. Good work.
Neither Rogers nor Hammerstein work here. Yeah, the baking powder company went out of business 30 years ago.
Nor are you our boss.
Nor do you exist.
Duh! And scene.
Wow.
Great. Wow. Well,
it immediately became an existential crisis.
And I'm thinking about the audience. I'm thinking about the audience, right? Are they going like, shut the fuck up?
There's no one left in the audience. There's no one left. Point. Yeah.
No, nor will they come back.
No.
So no nor is tough. I think.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yes or is tough and no nor is tough.
I will say, you know, in favor of the yes and stuff, it's hard to even get started when it's a back and forth of no's. To me, it starts, it's like, so the scene is about denying it all or something.
Well, so I think this is maybe where no but comes to save us, right? Where just like yes but sort of modulates the positive and gives us a lever, maybe that's what no but can also give us.
Man, I wish I would say the words modulate the positive. I'm not that guy. I'm just not that guy.
You know, I don't have friends, so it's a trade-off.
So where have we landed? Where are we now?
I think we're at no but. I don't think we've done a no but. Just like Sam had explained, I'm going to set you, Chris, and you, Sam, up with a no but scene.
Okay, can I clarify something? Ask a question here. Now, we also can understand, I think part of my no nor problem was actually saying the word nor. You know, we can replace if the intention is the same, correct?
Yes. I think we, in the, especially the first few lines, kind of need it as a crutch. But I think the idea would be to say yes to the spirit and not the phrase.
Great. So yes. Oh, so I'm sorry. So we're doing
no, but
no, but
no, but great. You two, one of you is in jail and one of you is visiting the person in jail. That's all you get.
It's not that terrible in here, dude. Like, I eat 3 times a day. I'm getting a lot of sleep. Like, I'm catching up on sleep. It feels good. What?
I'm really worried that by the time it gets going, you're gonna hate it here. Like, once the trial's over, you're gonna hate it.
No. But I'm making like friends. Like, I have friends. Do you know, Mr. Puppet? He like saved my life yesterday, dude.
Okay. What's he going to want from you, right? You know why they call him the puppet, right? Because just...
Go ahead. Because what?
Because he likes a hand slipped up his
mouth. Hey, everybody.
No.
Hey. Mr. Puppet. Hey, Mr. Puppet. I'm just talking to my friend, actually, about you.
Scene.
To me, that's super easy. I don't know if it's like a good scene, whatever. I feel very in control.
That's interesting. I love that.
Very in control. Yeah.
I had a hard time knowing if I was saying no, but like no's hard not to just say, right?
I know.
Like, no, those aren't your friends, but they are going to want something from you. It's so clunky, but I guess that's what the exercise is.
Can we jump into one more? Jamie and Sam, will you guys do a no but, and then we'll talk about both of these? I just felt very, very, yeah, I felt that you, Sam, it felt a little clunky for you at times, but I just want to jump into one more. Let's jump into one more. No but. Two dads at a Little League game.
Your kid sucks.
But we're on a podcast. We're making this up.
Yeah, and your kid sucks.
But it doesn't matter because you can say whatever you want.
No, I can't. Because your kid sucks.
But my other kid is great at Trek.
But it doesn't matter. You want to know why?
No.
Because your kid sucks.
No. But that's just personal. That's just a personal.
Okay. And that's folly, ladies and gentlemen. That's a folly show right there. Okay, so Sam, so you're fucking with the reality, right?
Yeah, trying to.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's funny. You fuck with the reality, and Jamie, you're like almost deny, like that still doesn't matter. Because what's important here is that you know that your kid sucks. So
it doesn't matter what reality we're in.
Yeah,
your
no.
Kid always sucks.
Yeah.
That's what I say now, when my dog can't catch a ball. My kid could have done that.
Now, what about like the elementary version, what we're trying to avoid with beginning improvisers saying things like, you know, Dad, can I borrow the car? You're not my son. Right.
But that's you can borrow the car. That's a great scene.
Yeah, that's a really good scene. Right. That's what we're trying to avoid. You guys went to another level here with like with denying the reality. I don't know. Does that feel successful to you, quote unquote?
What was interesting to me is watching Sam, you know, change the reality, or what at least we thought the reality was at first. And it was also fun denying his change of reality. It felt like I denied his denial. He was trying to change the reality, and no matter what reality he wanted to be in, it didn't matter because his kid sucked.
I mean, I think the thing that I'm really coming away with is if you yes and yourself, it's kind of okay if the improvisers are on different pages, because Jamie just yes anding, yeah, your kid sucks. Like, even as I'm saying like no, and then even me kind of having to say no again to like make up another kid. Like, now I've kind of denied that I'm on the podcast just for points to get back in that world. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. That was fun. The multiple denials, like if as opposed to arguing about reality, is like, no, we're not. This isn't a podcast. This is a TV show. Like, that feels unsatisfying. But to deny a denial feels like a meta move in a sense.
Yes.
Does that make? Yes. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know how you build a whole scene. I mean, how long could that scene have gone on for? I don't know. But maybe we revisit those characters every 5 minutes to check in with them.
I actually think that's the bigger takeaway here, Jamie. I think that is the bigger takeaway, which is like trying some of these on for moments in a show. That's this a quick series, just this banter, this scene's over, maybe. And you know, like it doesn't need to sustain an entire scene or show or any of that. I think it's fun to have flares of absurd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I actually came up with that word with you guys, these flares. We'd have these, you two would be doing a scene, and then Jamie would pop off or something, and it'd take us to this fun, magical world for a second. But then the glitter settles, and then all right, we're back into the next scene. It's medieval times. I think that's kind of fun to fuck with it that way.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think it's interesting and fun to explore the other side of Yes And, because I think you do get those varied energies in a show. The flares for a long time, and I think maybe even still to this day, if I were performing, I always love to be, you know, now for something completely different. And sure. So if you follow that, then eventually you're going to have to break all the rules, because that's just where it's going to lead you. And so I think those flares and using all of these maybe in moments of nonsense or moments to break up the show and shake everybody's brain up for a second and then come back to reality. I don't know.
Well, think about Sam, you know, our scene at the Costco, if you're like, yeah, but we're on a TV show, but then I continue to just yes and you from there. That's kind of a cool scene where like, why was I taking it so seriously waiting for sandwiches when we're on set and we could explore like our relationship there, you know, my favorite thing to do. But I think that's kind of cool to like, you know, pull out that one thing, deny that moment, and then continue from there. Okay, great. Now we're just a couple on set.
Yeah, those first few denials you had back and forth set up the scene in a really interesting alternate world that you guys wouldn't have gotten to, I don't think, with just pure yes and. You'd be talking about sandwiches, right?
100%.
Yeah, I'm kind of struck about how many different ideas get generated and how cool that kind of is. I mean, like, I as a person will get dinged on not following enough. Like, I make moves in new directions too much. And by sort of saying like, well, that's what we're doing. Yes, but isn't following someone else. It is taking it into a new direction. It reminds me of an opening in a weird way where you're just like generating so many different ideas. It's like if someone came out and that was their first scene and it was nuts, but then the rest of the show kind of made sense out of it using yes and, like, that'd be interesting.
I agree. Yeah.
Jamie, what was that thing? What was that thing you were doing? Being an asshole? No. During rehearsal, some kind of like both you and Sam were doing this like crazy generating of a bunch of information at the top. That just sounds like an opening. Hold on. I'm not losing my mind here. You would just say a bunch of words or move a bunch all over the space and say a bunch of stuff Am I making this up? Like,
no, we were trying to generate like as much information as possible or something like that.
Like, yeah, remember, Jamie, like you wouldn't even pause. Like you were like not allowing for thought to come in to like send you in one direction or the other. It was this kind of free flow state where you were just like saying a bunch of stuff.
I remember you trying to push us towards an opening. and I think that was your move, was to try to push us towards an opening, because I like to do that within a show, like, you know, just kind of almost stream of consciousness.
Yes, that's what I was
in a sense, but not like with a fury, just like, oh, Sam comes in and is like, ah, lost my job again today. I'd be like, why do you have bells on your shoes? You know, it's just like just generating information, these kind of non sequiturs that kind of lay the foundation for what could be. And then we can unpack that later. Maybe the bells come back, you know, maybe they just add a spice to the scenery. But it's kind of like within a scene rather than within an opening, and then the scene starts.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, and not with a fury. You're right. It wasn't as frantic as I was remembering it. Yeah.
That's interesting, Jamie. You know, if we labeled some of these tools and we say, like, yes and is a great peas in a pod tool, and we say, like, yes but is a good like individual perspective tool, does that make no but a good non sequitur tool?
I think it can work the same as yes but, to be honest. Because if you're going to argue, it doesn't really matter what you're arguing about, because the yes doesn't mean anything if you then say but. So to say no but, it feels like the yes or no doesn't really change it. I think no but and yes but kind of will ultimately serve the same function, I think. What about one more? Because I know we're running out of time here, and this has gone by so fast. I love this. If we have anybody listening to the end, can we try yes and no? Because I thought it was an interesting idea, yes and no. So you say yes to the idea, and then you contradict the yes that you just gave.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Yeah, yeah. Let's see what's up. Do you want to try that on, Jamie, Sam? Who wants to play this?
Yeah, you guys want to play that, Jamie,
yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yes. And no.
All right. And you guys are two knights in medieval times.
I told her I loved her, and I was like, I love you. And she didn't say it back.
Yeah. I mean, because she loves you a lot, but not really that much. Not really at all. I mean, I think she hates you.
Right. It's like she absolutely despises me. But like, you know, there's this seed of hope I'm still holding on to. You know, it's like I'm going to plant this seed and hope that love springs from it. I think that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and love will spring from that, and it's going to change your life for the better by destroying it, by becoming absolutely everything. You're going to be that seed that turns into a plant that will then be picked with a scythe, and you're going to be used to feed the peasants of communist Russia.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, so it's like my body will be like Jesus's body, right? I'll be feeding the people, but they won't be ingesting it, which is going to be weird. You know, it's just, I'm going to be the food upon the face of these Russians, whatever Russians are.
Yeah. The Russians are everyone and no one.
yeah. Okay. So here's what I want to say. I was so surprised by how well you did immediately, Jamie. It kind of put me in my head. I was like, oh shit, he did that fucking perfectly. The yes and the no. I think that's a fun tool.
It's fun. I think it just adds a lot of depth, and it feels very Beckett. To me, that scene felt very Beckett.
Yes.
You guys ended up recreating the game where you pick up a flower and like, she loves me, she loves me not. Right? Like it was really interesting because it added a depth to it of like, yeah, I mean like she loves you. I mean, she doesn't. She doesn't. She hates you. Yeah, she does hate me, but like it was really fun.
This goes back to what I was saying earlier. I love these tools as scene starters. Jamie, I think that's like, it's kind of hard because I mean, it's more of an exercise than the scene to continue to go back and forth with it. But Jamie, I love the idea of you saying, yes, dude, she loves you, but she absolutely despises you. That's fucking cool. I don't know that my instinct would then to also yes and know that, But I love the headspace that would put me in as in the scene. I do. I like that one a lot. I'm going to use that one.
I like yes and no. I mean, again, it's been so long since we've actually done it, but I'm recalling now how fun it was. And it does get you into a nonsense headspace. It does put you in a very like Beckett style kind of weird, uncertain reality. But I think what's so great about that, and I think why Beckett was so popular, is because that's how human brains are. They're contradicting each other all the time. Oh, she loves me. Oh, she loves me not, you know, as Sam said. And so it feels very authentic to human beings. And so even though it doesn't make sense, humans don't make sense. So I think there's some truth and reality in there, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, Jamie, I think you're really hitting on something that the great artists can do, right? Is they have two ideas that are both true, or they show us like how people are both beautiful and ugly and all those sort of big ideas. And, you know, I think the goal of sketch is to make us laugh and to build to insanity. And that's not quite the same idea as, oh, how can we show a complicated experience?
And in some weird way, I felt my character even felt pretty supported by this dude. That's strange. Like it didn't feel like you were, I don't know. It felt truthful. And some, that's the only way I can think. It felt like honest, like, okay, you're right. She loves me probably so much that she hates me. Like, and then by the way, two scenes from now, I'm going to see you in bed with her. You know, like, what are you doing?
I'm not in bed with her.
Again, I like fucking with this. Also, guys, I'm going to toot our own horn. I don't know how many people explore this type of work. It's fun to just try it on. It's just fun to try it on. It kind of awakens different parts of my brain and my body. Sometimes I felt scared and excited. I like this as an exercise.
Yeah. To me, it kind of opens up like Pandora's box. Like what is here? What scenes are we not seeing because of the yes and formula, you know? And that's my gripe on every podcast episode we have. But I think especially when it comes to yes and, it funnels us all in this little weird direction. And I think there's so much more unexplored. So I don't know. Play with it, you guys. Sam, what do you think?
It reminds me of a concept called meta models, where it's sort of like the rules to make your models, right? And so if the Herald is like a model of how we can do an improv show, like the idea behind that is to say yes and so it is, to Jamie's point, really interesting to sort of say like, okay, what happens when we tweak those rules? I also have been lucky to teach language arts to kids. I think that there's a lot of fun to be had with like parts of speech, and today we were basically just playing with the idea of yes or no in a conjunction. And so yeah, people should play, try to fail. I think it's very much the clown side that we try to embrace, both saying no to things, but also embracing that like, oh yeah, that was a terrible idea. I fully accept responsibility for no nor being awful.
I mean, I tapped out twice.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever stopped a scene. Really fun. Really fun. Thank you everybody. If you made it this far, we appreciate it. Send us your thoughts. Is this stuff insane? Is it inspiring? Is it both? I don't know. As always, you can find our podcast at The Comedy Fix on Instagram. Send us a message. Let us know what you think. I'm Chris Alvarado at Chris Alvarado on Instagram.
Jamie at Jamie Parkinen on Instagram. Still with three photos. Probably not going to move from that number for a while because, you know, the rule of threes. Sam?
Yeah, I'm online. Check out my new website, www.google.com.
Beautiful. Great.
Well, this has been the Comedy Fix podcast, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.